Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. And the topic this morning comes from most people's backyards, or that's where they're coming from. And the topic is tomatoes. I hope by now you've had your first handful of those little sweet cherry or grape tomatoes, or you've had a big slice on a hamburger, or however you enjoy those fresh tomatoes. I know there are just a few people who don't like tomatoes, but they're very few, and the rest of us can hardly wait for those fresh, locally grown tomatoes. So what, where did they come from? You know, how did tomatoes get to us in all the numerous ways that we use tomatoes? Well, supposedly it's traced back to the early Aztecs around 700 A.D., and so it's believed that the tomato is really native to the Americas. But it was not until much later, around the 16th century, that the Europeans were introduced to this fruit or vegetable when the early explorers set sail to discover new lands. And then, because people love tomatoes, it was quickly accepted in people from Southern Europe and moving north. But there was a problem along the way, and that was some people believed that tomatoes were poisonous. Why is that? Well, rich people in that time used flatware made of pewter, which has a high lead content. And foods high in acid, like tomatoes, would cause the lead to leach out into the food, resulting in lead poisoning and death. On the other hand, poor people did not have an aversion to tomatoes. They didn't have flatware made of pewter. They had plates and other things made of wood. So they didn't have a problem with that lead causing poisoning. And the tomatoes just spread across the world, really. But them still were not used as much as they are now until about the 1800s. Now, one of the things supposedly that made the tomato so popular in the United States was because an Italian chef decided to make a new food for an Italian queen. Her name was Marguerite. And what was that food? Well, it was pizza. And supposedly he only used three ingredients: the red from the tomato, the white from the mozzarella cheese, and the green from basil topping. And there you have the colors of the Italian flag. So where has it progressed from there? Well, actually in Italy you can still get that same pizza Marguerite, but for the most of us, well, we're putting on lots more toppings. Everything from meat and cheese to maybe grapes or chicken or whatever. Pizza just kept getting more popular and more varied. So it seems that tomatoes have had a large impact on American eating habits. And we eat 12 million tons of tomatoes each year. So, yeah, that's a lot of tomatoes, whether you have to buy those that, not so much flavor in the wintertime because you just want a red tomato, or you can't hardly wait until those locally grown fresh ones come on the market. Again, from all sizes, those little bitty ones to the big buggers that, you know, just really cover a big-sized hamburger, everything in between, and including the heirlooms. You know, that's something that's gotten much more popular in the last few years. And heirloom means that they come from original seeds. They are not crossbred with any other tomato. Some people really, really like them and think they have lots more flavor. Other folks say, they're kind of wrinkly and they're a different color, and I'll stick with my regular old red ones. But whatever, maybe if you get a chance to try an heirloom and you haven't done that, you would like to give that a chance. So back at the beginning, I mentioned that it was called a fruit. Now, it depends on who you ask whether they call it a fruit or a vegetable. Most of us, I think, call it a vegetable. And the horticulturists say, by definition, a fruit is the edible plant structure of a mature ovary of a flowering plant, usually eaten raw. Some are sweet, like apples, but the ones that are not sweet, such as tomatoes, cucumbers, peppers, are commonly called vegetables. So whether you call it a fruit or a vegetable, maybe it doesn't make any difference to you now, but originally, or back in the 1800s, the tomato was classified as a fruit to avoid taxation. But this was changed after a Supreme Court ruling that the tomato is a vegetable and should be taxed accordingly. So when you look back on all of that history of the tomato, you think, oh my goodness, you could say that it has a really bad history. It was classified as a poisonous, beautiful plant, a tax-avoiding fruit, and a taxable vegetable. However, it is really, really popular. How many dishes can you name that contain tomatoes? And by the way, if you eat a fresh tomato, do you add salt or do you add sugar or neither one? There are definite preferences. So just a few ideas on how to use tomatoes. Just run down a list, and you could add hundreds to this list. But sun-dried, that's a way to preserve them. And, of course, salsa has become so much more popular. Pico de gallo. How about a cucumber salad? A particular Greek salad is a combination of cucumbers and tomatoes. The little ones are great for kebabs. Just put them right on the fork with other things, and they just sit there very nicely. How about pickled tomatoes? Maybe that's one you've never tried, pickled tomatoes. And, you know, I'm not sure I've seen them on the shelf. You probably have to make them yourself. Of course, tomato soup, all kinds of pastas. We've talked in the past about how roasting makes all vegetables tasty, and that tomatoes are no exception. What about ketchup, juice, stewed, a Bloody Mary, or maybe a green tomato pie? Some folks will swear by green tomato pie. So I mentioned sun-drying as a way of preserving. You know, once you've had kind of your fill and you still have lots of tomatoes available, what do you do with them? Well, those sun-dried, and you can do it in the sun or you can do it in a microwave oven, or canning or freezing. Freezing is really easy if you have enough freezer space. Just drop them in some boiling water, let them blanch a bit, take the peels off. In between, you need to drop them into cold water, then take the peels off and put them into jars or other airtight containers. Just a little thing, if you're putting them in jars, do not use the ones that have the hips on them. You need to use straight line jars if you're freezing tomatoes, but any airtight container will do. And of course, canning also, they need to be processed. For information related to canning, freezing, drying, any food preservation method, the best information, it comes from the United States Department of Agriculture, and that work is done by the University of Georgia. They've sort of become the experts in terms of how to can, freeze, and preserve in other ways to make that process as safe as possible. So, if you have a computer, you have online a whole big fat book of directions from the very basics to the recipes for specific things, such as spaghetti sauce or canned salsa or any other thing that has tomatoes in it. Of course, you can also stop by your extension office, and they will have specific instructions about tomatoes as well as other kinds of foods to can, freeze, and preserve in various ways. So however you have tomatoes on your table, unless you're just one of those few who don't like tomatoes, enjoy. Until next time, here's a thought from Alice Walker. She says, you don't always have to be doing something. You can just be. And that's plenty.